Let me sing you a waltz out of nowhere, out of my thoughts. Let me sing you a waltz about this one night stand. You were for me that night, everything I always dreamt of in life. But now you're gone, you are far
gone. Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.com. Movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Brownlee, and I'm super excited for this week's show for a lot of reasons. Chief among them that I am joined by my beautiful wife of 16 years as of this week, Erica Brownlee. Hi, babe.
Hi, babe.
How are you?
Happy anniversary.
Happy upcoming anniversary. Yes. Don't get ahead of yourself.
I know. It's in a few days. But this is going to post on 2 Wednesday.
2 days before our anniversary.
2 days before. Okay.
So we got married in 2004, so it only makes sense that this special episode be part of our continuing series in which we redo our list of favorite movies from a given year. We're up to 2004. Erica, months ago, said we should do 2004, the week of our anniversary. And I said, we don't have to wait that long.
I know. It was like in the winter.
Yeah. And then, well, whenever we did 2003.
Sure.
I don't know when that was.
I don't either.
Yeah, we don't have to wait that long. And then sure enough, so much has happened that we didn't have a choice. We basically do it at this point.
Right. It could not have been 1 week even sooner. So this is the only time we could have done it. But yeah, it worked out. See, it was meant to be.
It was meant to be. So yeah, 16 years ago this week, I made the smartest move of my life and locked this one down. Aww. So
I was going to say, what were you thinking 16 years ago
this
week?
That I'm very lucky. I was very excited the night before our wedding. I was by myself because you were staying in a hotel with the bridesmaids.
No, I was staying at my mom's
staying
house.
Staying at your mom's house with the bridesmaids, not at a hotel.
Just with my mom.
I had it in my head that you were at the hotel where we were getting married. I don't know why. But
no, I mean the next day. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I watched American Wedding, which is not a good movie. But I had bought it at Target that day because I was like, I'm getting married tomorrow. I'm buying American Wedding for $5 and watching it tonight. Our wedding, nothing like American Wedding.
I love
that
you...
No one ate poo at all at our wedding.
No.
Not that I know of.
Right.
I didn't keep tabs on Doug the whole night.
He did go missing for a while. What happened? No, Doug was our best man.
He was.
He was great. In fact, he gave a speech that people are still talking about 16 years later.
That is true.
Yep.
He played a song and everything.
Yeah.
That
he wrote. It was so
good. Played a song.
The title of the song was Patrick and Erica.
Appropriate for the occasion.
The chorus.
Hard to play at any other occasion.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm glad he made the most of it that night.
Yeah,
he really
definitely
got some use out of it. Yeah. Yay. So what else?
Well, we're going to redo our lists. So we'll talk about what our lists were back in 2004 and then what they are now. But before we get to that, I have to ask, have you seen anything good lately?
Yes. Hi. Yeah, I have.
Let's have it.
I haven't watched as much as I wish I could.
Well, we've been very busy.
During a pandemic. I know. It's just there's so many things.
You think you have nothing but time to watch movies, and then you end up watching nothing.
The first 2 weeks of the quarantine here in Illinois did feel like, oh, we might like catch up on some stuff. And then everything went beep, beep. Okay, so we watched, finally, At the Drive-In.
Yes.
Which I've been wanting to watch for years, especially after Adam wrote about it.
Yes.
And then he visited
there,
too.
He and Rob. Yes. And then they went there, yeah.
Yes, Rob wrote about it.
Because Rob lives near there.
Right. in the same state. He could drive there whenever he wants, right?
Can and does.
That's amazing. So we watched At the Drive-In, and I really liked it. I love documentaries like that where you just get you get to feel like you're really getting to know these people. I was going to say characters. They're not characters. They're real people. And you get a sense of what their daily lives are like and how they are sort of structuring their entire existence around this passion and love for a thing that, you know, I also love. So it's kind of cool to see how they make it work, you know, running this drive-in and keeping it alive and keeping it going in times when it was interesting to hear about, like, the history, how many drive-ins at one point and then how many closed and then the ones that are still open, sort of how they're surviving. But, yeah, it was really special. And I know that when Adam and Rob went, didn't Adam say he felt like he was seeing celebrities?
Yeah, because the people that are in the documentary are the people working there.
I would be the same way. Yeah, I think totally. I would just be totally starstruck like that. So I'm getting more excited for stuff like that than probably even a giant star. I don't know. but, yeah, so I really like that. What'd you think?
Yeah, I echo everything. You know, I didn't necessarily think it was, like, a great documentary.
Right, no, it was just like
it was very easy to watch and very entertaining and definitely made me want to go to the Mahoning Drive-In.
Right.
I know one of our regular visitors to the site, I don't know how much he listens to the show, but is a regular of the Mahoning Drive-In, so, and posts often in the Weekend Thread about what he's seeing there, and it always makes me jealous because I'll look at the schedule sometimes and just wish I could go to all their special events. They just announced in September they're showing the Funhouse, and one of the stars of the Funhouse is going to be there, so it makes me wish that we could go there in September to see the Funhouse.
But let's go.
Yeah.
Road trip.
Yeah.
I'm up.
We are going to the drive-in this week.
Yeah.
For the first time, we're going to the Midway Drive-In, which is owned by the couple that runs Flashback Weekend here in Illinois. And Flashback has been canceled this year, but we are taking our kids to the drive-in on our anniversary. Since we can't take a trip or anything, that's how we're going to celebrate our anniversary, by going to the movies for the first time since Birds of Prey, maybe, was the last movie we saw.
No way.
I don't know. What else would we have seen?
I thought we saw one more, but maybe not. We had tickets, or we were going to go see something.
Bad Boys 2, or 3, rather? Was that the last movie we saw?
That might have been the last movie. I know we were going to see something at the Music Box the weekend of the shutdown.
Yeah, because they were doing their 70mm fest.
Yeah, and so, but we were kind of like, we probably shouldn't, right?
Right.
and then everything got really shut down after that. We were supposed to go, we had planned to go to California this summer. So we had to cancel that, like so many people, you know, canceling trips and whatnot. So the drive-in will be fun. We had two drive-ins that closed during our lifetimes, right? Like when we were younger, the one in Palatine.
I think that's the one I went to.
I forget where it was.
I haven't
exactly
been to the drive-in since 1995.
You haven't?
I saw Clueless and The Net.
Nice.
It was my last drive-in double feature, so this will be my first time in many years.
Awesome night at the drive-in.
Was
though?
It though? I had already seen Clueless, and The Net is not great.
Yeah, but it's Sandra Bullock.
Sure.
So that's all you need.
Sure.
I can't remember my last time at the drive-in, but I do, like, I think it was a year ago. So one closed when we were younger, and then one closed about a year ago, and that was such a bummer because, yeah, people wanted to save it but couldn't make it work. I wonder if, you know, if they could have only seen the future and know that, everybody would want to be coming to the drive-in theater.
It'll be the only play game in town, you know.
Yeah, but we have another one that I think Adam went to recently.
Yeah,
that's about an hour north of us, or 45 minutes, 45
sure.
minutes maybe.
Yeah.
And
we haven't been to that one.
No,
yet.
We haven't. And I hope that they start showing things that maybe pique our interest a little bit more, just to make it, I mean, it's already worthwhile, but, you know.
Well, last week they
more
were doing an Indiana Jones double feature. We could have gone to that. But there's no way we could have gotten it together in time to go. Mark on went.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is that they don't sell tickets online, right? So you have to show up early and kind of get your spot, which is fine,
hours,
but we have young kids, and
right.
I'm sure we could entertain them, but also maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But
yeah.
Anyway.
So but we're
this,
excited about the
this
drive.
This Friday should be fun, yeah.
What else besides At the Drive-In
seen? You've seen a couple more things. So if there's anything you want to talk about, please feel free. We watch Showbiz Kids, the documentary by Alex Winter, who's one of my Twitter crushes. He doesn't know this, and he's not
listening.
He
will, though.
I don't know. I don't think he listens. But Alex Winter once talked to us, kind of, sort of, during F This Movie Fest, didn't he?
Was it him that talked to us when we watched Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, or was it William Sadler?
William Sadler did, but I thought
William
Alex
Sadler
Winter
just
did
it this year, too, when we were watching Hard to Kill.
Yes.
But Alex Winter might have said hi.
I think he did. That's I think he said hi. Maybe I'm remembering incorrectly because maybe I was wishing he did. I don't know. But yeah, he's a Twitter crush. So he made Showbiz Kids about child actors in Hollywood. I was totally into this documentary. I was fascinated. It's like stuff we already knew, but not hearing it from these young actors who are now older talking about their experiences. And so many of them said things about their experiences that I guess, I don't know, we just always assume so much about people, famous people.
Mm-hmm.
We assume that one clip on the news or in just anywhere that that represents them in some real way. And most of the time, I don't think it does at all. You know, people are so quick to just hate on anyone who's famous, even children. And that's so alarming. And even more so after watching this, it just kind of broke my heart to think about the pressures that they face. And when, let's see, who is it? So Will Wheaton was interviewed a few times.
Evan Rachel Wood,
yes.
Todd Bridges.
Oh my gosh.
The girl who played Matilda. I can't come up with it. Mara Wilson.
Yeah, Mara Wilson. And more, but Todd Bridges.
Yeah.
My heart was breaking for him the whole time. All of them, really. But, I mean, there's just so much more to his story than I think most people knew.
Yeah, he was, I think, the only instance, and not that I wanted the movie to go so far into this, but I just felt like, you know, they were interviewing these child stars who were more or less very well-adjusted.
Yeah.
Even kind of as child stars, they were pretty well adjusted.
Sure.
And Todd Bridges is the only example of one who kind of fell off and went through some rough times.
And he himself was sharing that. He was talking
about that. For sure.
Right, right.
And I almost wish, you know, we got clips of people like Lindsay Lohan or Amanda Bynes or, you know, people who had gone through some trouble as perhaps a result of being famous so young.
Right.
But the movie doesn't get too much into that because it's interviewing people who maybe didn't have that experience,
right,
if that makes sense.
Mara Wilson talked about how, you know, at such a young age, it seems like this is what everyone does. Like, a few of them said, I just assumed that everybody's life was like this. Who said this? Mara Wilson or was it Evan Rachel Wood? I think Mara Wilson said, me going to auditions and being cast in things was just like another kid maybe going to youth soccer or youth football or something. I think it was her. And it's normal. And then even how their parents had to act and had to manage things and handle things, they just thought everybody's parents were sort of doing those things. And so Mara Wilson also mentioned how there's so many things that they didn't learn to do in an independent sense because you're young, you're succeeding in your business, and it's Hollywood. So now they have somebody to do that for you, right? No matter what the thing is.
Right.
It's like someone's going to make sure that this is easy for you, take care of this. And yeah, I don't know. It was interesting. It made me think a lot about the documentary we watched a few years back called, I think, The Hollywood Project?
That sounds right.
No, The Hollywood Complex.
The Hollywood Complex.
The Hollywood Complex, right, about kids. Oh, because this documentary, Showbiz Kids, did feature
two kids
who were auditioning,
sort of going through that process right now, and it's almost like it needed more of that or less.
Not that
it makes it a worse movie, but it's like that's almost not what it's about.
Right. Yeah, it did seem like, oh, now we're doing this. It didn't like flow with the rest of the narratives, but yeah, maybe more, and just to balance out, like, here's what kids are going through right now, trying to come up. Oh, you know who was interviewed quite a few times? Cameron Boyce. Is that right?
That sounds right. The Disney star who passed away.
Yeah, and at one point, near the end, our daughter, or both our kids kind of ran in the room, and, you know, our daughter's 8 and our son is 11. They're big fans of a lot of the stuff that Cameron had done on Disney. And they ran in, and Rosie, our daughter, said, she, like, said something on TV. It broke my heart. She said, like, please don't die. And because they understand, and it's sad, but she was like looking at him on the screen, not kind of, you know, like, right. Don't, please don't die. I'm like, oh, that breaks my heart. And then she just was staring at him sitting on the floor. But he had a lot to say too. And he said, my experience on these Disney shows has been so positive. And he said, I got lucky. You know, I got lucky where almost everybody was supportive. Almost everybody was kind to each other. You know, for him, it was such a positive experience, but he recognized that, like, so many people did not have that. Right. So, yeah, right. It's good. It was interesting.
Yeah, it's worth watching. For it sure. It is playing on HBO this month, so I'm assuming it's on all of the... Oh, we should have mentioned that The Drive-In is now on Amazon Prime.
Oh, right.
And this is probably on all the HBO streaming services, of which there are several, but it's also just playing on HBO.
And if you didn't, I'm going back, but if you did not read Adam and Rob's piece about At the Drive-In, definitely... search for that on the website, because it's worth the read for sure. Another movie I watched recently, Relic.
Yeah, we just watched Relic last night, finally.
What did you think of Relic?
So Relic, for me, I think is a victim of inflated expectations, because I've been hearing, you know, I try to tune a lot of it out, and being away from some social media is definitely helpful to get out of that particular bubble. But some of it still has managed to get through, and I've heard that Relic is, you know, the best horror movie of the year from more than one place.
Right.
And that was not my experience with the movie. I thought it was good. I thought it was very well made.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it could just be the mood that I was in. Part of it could be that I was tired.
Quote, the mood that I was in has applied to, for me, like so many movies during this entire...
But we have to recognize that because it's so subjective, our reaction to stuff, you know, now and in the, if we go back to it in the future, we may have a totally different reaction to it just because of where we're at now. You know, you and I have not really watched many, if any, horror movies during a lot of this pandemic. We just haven't totally felt like it. So we watched movies, but not necessarily horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a movie that I respected and admired. I never really got into it.
Okay.
You know, there were comparisons to Hereditary, and there were comparisons to The Taking of Deborah Logan, and I totally get both of those comparisons. I feel like I connected with both of those movies more than I did with Relic.
I agree with everything you just said.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We should just move on.
You know what? It's your anniversary gift for me to agree with everything you said.
Thank you.
I thought it was really well made, and I loved the like atmosphere that was sort of created. Like I thought, like right away, I felt like, oh, this is working for me as a horror movie. And then I was kind of thinking like, okay, everybody has their favorite styles and things that scare them, right? Styles of horror films. And I was definitely feeling like, oh, I think Relic is mine. Like the feeling that it was created is, it works for me. There was a lot in the beginning of like scary noises in the dark and like stuff in the night, you know, and I'm trying to think about, okay, what really scares me other than being kidnapped in a rural area and becoming part of a Rob Zombie movie, what else scares me? Because really, that's it. That's it. House of a Thousand Corpses is actually going to happen to me if I take a road trip in the South. I don't know. It's just... Okay. But no, Relic, I felt like it was working. A lot of that stuff was really working for me. And then by the end, and as like things progress with, you know, no spoilers, but you know, I think I was having my own like personal, like I can't fully give 100% of my emotions to this movie right now because it will be too much for me. Therefore, I'm only giving 75% of my emotions to this movie right now, and I think it's really good, and I'm glad I watched it, and that's it. But yeah, no, do you know what I mean? Like, I had to sort of like put up a little bit of a block to just not get too emotional.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But it was good. It was really good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. I'm not even saying anything bad
about
it.
Oh, no, no. Yeah.
If we had
it's hard
seen
sometimes
it.
To talk about things after we know there's been, like, it, like you were saying, like, when you hear from 20 different sources that it's the best movie of the year, that's great. That's exciting. But it also means you can really, really like it, and your opinion still is going to come out seeming not as positive as that. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
I really like this movie.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's the best one of the year. But
there are movies that we like that we don't connect to, you know, and then there are movies that we connect to that nobody else likes, you know, it just happens. And had we seen Relic in a theater under different circumstances, you know, things going on in our lives being different, this whole pandemic not being in our minds, you know, maybe my reaction to Relic would be completely different. Maybe I would be blown away and say that's the best horror movie of the year.
Right.
It didn't happen for me. That's not the movie's fault.
Can you name your favorite horror movie of the year so far?
There's several that I would say I liked more or connected to more. Underwater, I liked.
Okay.
But to be fair, we saw that in a theater with no pandemic going on, you know.
Yeah.
After Midnight.
Yeah, that was going to be the first one I said.
Color Out of Space.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Those are three just off the top of my head.
Yeah, okay. Well, you stole mine.
You're welcome. You're quite welcome.
Speaking of, okay, wait, anything else you want to talk about for what we've watched lately?
Or
what
I've watched some other stuff. But
you've watched some Westerns while I was, like, doing work stuff.
Yeah, I feel like those are safe to watch without you. So, the only movie that I honestly would talk about is yesterday I had to put something on while I was working, so I wanted it to be something I had seen before, so I put on Doc Hollywood. And
oh my gosh.
I just want to say that every movie should be at least as good as Doc Hollywood.
Oh.
That's my new baseline.
I mean, even the poster is so great.
Doc Hollywood is terrific.
Look at this poster.
At what it wants to be. Like, it has specific goals in mind, and it achieves those goals, and then some. And Michael J. Fox is so great. Julie Warner. I remember seeing it in the theater and thinking to myself, like, well, she's going to be a movie star.
Aww.
And it never really happened.
Woody
Harrelson, when he was still kind of a TV actor in a supporting role. Bridget Fonda, like, stealing scenes that she's in.
Gosh.
The whole cast is amazing.
Yeah.
But Michael J. Fox especially is really, really, really good.
Look at his hair in this poster. Oh, he's so cute. I just wore my Michael J. Fox shirt the other day.
You did. It's every movie should be at least as good as Doc Hollywood. That's
I haven't seen it for a while.
Opinion.
Okay. Can we show it to the kids?
Yeah, there's some nudity, like Julie Warner's first appearance. She's topless.
Okay.
It's a PG-13 movie.
I'll put it on tonight.
But other than that,
everybody has a body.
That's true.
So, you know.
That is true. I guess that's something we should teach them. Everybody has
a body.
Before we get into our 2004 lists,
yeah,
let's talk a little bit about 2004. You have
do you notice that
facts.
Look what I put here on our table. I decorated the table with a picture of us from, actually, I have no idea what year.
We couldn't figure out when that picture was taken.
It might be somebody else's wedding in 2004.
I don't think it's from 2004. I think it's before 2004. Yeah. My hair's really short.
Stephen Lauren's wedding?
Maybe.
I wore a different dress, I think, to their wedding.
Yeah.
This isn't Mike and Christy. They were also 2004,
one month after us.
No,
I do not think so.
So who the heck got married? I don't know. All right.
I don't think that picture is from 2004.
Maybe it's
I think
Lauren
it's from
and Steve,
like 2000.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That might be Lauren and Steve. Anyway. Okay. And then.
Here's our wedding pictures.
Here's some pictures. Just a random.
Yeah.
You know. I grabbed this. This used to be when you had an office in a building that used to be
on
your desk
in grad school.
And your other job too.
And people would come up to me and say, "Your wife's really hot," and I would say, "I know."
You're funny. No, I remember you telling me that back in the day.
Yeah.
That's cute though, right? Nice
it is.
Four
it
little
was cute.
Pictures. No one can see this. Okay, so I also did some research. You know how some people are very traditional.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are not
right. So
traditional.
But we're not in love with being untraditional.
I know. You're exactly right. That's such a good way of putting it. Right. We're just kind of like, yeah, whatever we like. But like, we certainly aren't like, we're breaking all the norms. I refuse to have anything traditional at our wedding. Like,
let me brag about how different I am.
Oh my gosh. No. Yeah. It's fine. Like, do what you want. Do what you want. You don't
Everybody has a body.
Everybody has a body. I got a body. Okay, so
Osmosis Jones?
What year did that come out?
Not 2004, I don't think.
Okay, so we have not followed the traditional anniversary gifts.
No, we have not.
We give each other whatever we want to give each other, and we don't follow that, you know, like, one year it's, like, paper, and one year it's, like, metal or silver, whatever. Okay, so, but I did look. I'm like, well, I'm just curious. What is the 16th wedding anniversary theme or whatever. And
is there really one for every year?
Yes.
That's bananas.
No, I'm serious. Look, this
don't they run out of materials?
Look, your first anniversary, you're supposed to give, the traditional gift would be paper, a modern gift, and I don't know who makes these rules, okay? The modern gift would be clocks. And then second year anniversary, I'm not going to go through all
clocks?
These.
Clocks? We're supposed to give each other clocks for paper?
That was 16 years ago. Okay, you're late on the clocks. We already have clocks. Second year anniversary.
We're lousy with clocks.
It's cotton.
We always know what time it is.
But so the modern gift was China? What? I don't get it.
I don't understand the...
No, I don't either. I don't know. Who makes these rules? I don't know. What website am I on?
Big this Wedding, is, that's who.
This is... yes. Well, this is... this is, I don't
for
know.
16 years?
So 16 years is like...
Did you just buy that today?
I bought this today.
That's
when we went to the mall. We went to the mall today. We had a mall trip. And I have to say that I was pretty proud of our mall because masks are required. 99% of people had them on.
We
people
had
were spaced
to go to the
out.
Mall.
Yeah,
we had
to
choose to go
no,
to the
I know.
Mall.
We had to go. It was like an Apple emergency.
I would not
emergency.
Have gone to the mall otherwise.
I know. You would not have. We would not have. But I have to say, when we were there, we had fun. And the kids love it and think it's like, you know, every day for them we do something and it's not that fun. But they're like, it's the best day of quarantine. And then it's so cute. But and the next day they're like, what are we going to do? So, no, I don't know. There are a lot of different, but somewhere on the internet, it said something about silver, hollowware, or wax.
Mm.
And then some people say that the 16th doesn't really have a traditional theme, but you can go with wax if you want. And so, therefore, the modern gift would be a candle.
Very nice.
So take a sniff of this candle.
Okay.
Now, a couple years ago, Patrick, you won't admit this, he got really into candles.
What?
I know. He got, no, we... You got.
I liked when we had candles burning in our house.
That is the
that's probably a
more
better way of saying
honest
it.
Way. That is the honest way of saying it. But do you like how this one smells?
I do.
See,
I do.
Good
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I pulled some other gifts. Not gift. Yeah. Well, here's a gift. But then this is from 2002, so this doesn't count.
Correct.
This is when.
When Sam Raimi's Spider-Man was coming out every
it.
Month leading up to the release, I don't know how far back it went.
It was a full month. Or, I mean, a full year.
Was it a full year?
Yeah, I started the countdown at a year.
Okay. Erica would give me some sort of Spider-Man-themed gift, and it culminated the month that the movie finally came out, because it was a movie I waited my whole life to see, with a Spider-Man watch that was engraved on the back. And the watch no longer works, but we still have the watch.
Yes.
It is faded.
It was in your nightstand.
And old, but of course I have kept it, because how could I ever get rid of it?
Mm-hmm. Was that 2002?
That was 2002,
yeah, yeah,
so
right.
it doesn't apply
it
to
doesn't
2004.
Apply. No, but I was thinking, because Spider-Man 2 came out in 2004, so it made me think of that. And
right around our wedding.
It, yeah, well, I'm sure we'll get to that, but it reminded me of like how both movies we were just made such a point. And back in 2002, when the first one came out, it was difficult to find stuff. Like now, the world has changed so much. Like everything, everything movie and pop culture and comic book is found in any format anywhere.
Disney owns so much of
I
it,
could
so
find
of
like a bra covered in Spider-Man right now. Like
yes.
even in my size, like it's like everything's available. In fact, I've been getting emails lately from a company called Me Undies. They're not paying me to
I'm
bring this up.
I'm familiar with Me Undies
Me
because
Undies?
They advertise on podcasts.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
They just started popping up for me in my stuff. And, yeah, that's my point, is that you can get adult stuff anywhere. Anyway,
right.
okay, so it's time. But in 2002, it was really hard to find stuff. Like,
yeah,
it was,
you had that watch, like, made.
I did. I had it specially
like a
made.
A custom job.
I know. Yeah.
I remember.
And then I found this little guy.
I love you.
Oh,
his battery
dying.
Is dying. Where
he's
did this come from?
Weird frog in a cape that says, I love you, I love you.
You bought this for me, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. We used to, like, when we'd be on the phone, I would randomly just, like, squeeze it. I would squeeze that and my karate monkey.
Yes. Karate monkey's in the house somewhere, but I didn't know. Yeah, and we would, like, hide this. And now we
right.
have other things that we hide, including a DVD copy of...
The Etruscan Smile, starring Brian Cox.
So we just... Keep,
the story won't translate.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't
it's
know.
A movie that came in the mail that we were just like, who would ever watch this? And then we continued to place it where the other person will find it.
So like it was under
everywhere.
My pillow one night.
It's been in my car. It's been in the refrigerator.
Oh, the one in your car really got you. That was funny.
It sure did.
Oh, in your hoodie, too.
In the mailbox.
The mailbox.
It's been in the mailbox.
Right now, it's somewhere in this house, and you haven't found it yet.
I know. It's down here somewhere.
I'm so excited. Go look for it right now.
Okay. All right.
I'll just talk to listeners.
You vamp. All right. So what are our 2004 facts that you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. So 2004, I know that we're talking about movies, but the Billboard year-end Hot 100 singles of 2004.
Yeah.
I could go back. Should I go back to...
No.
Oh, my gosh. No. Okay. So let's go to, like, maybe number 10.
Okay.
Lean Back by Terror Squad.
Number 9. I think I know that song.
Goodies. Oh, my gosh. You remember
What's
Goodies?
Goodies? No. I'm not going to know
I could
these
sing
songs.
It for you. Yeah, no, my dance club kids danced to Goodies.
Okay.
So you would know it. Number 8, Heya by Outkast, which was
that one
played.
I know.
Yeah, you do. I mean, everyone listened to that 1,000 times, but in our house it was like 5,000 times, and at our wedding and at every other wedding we went to, and that was a song that definitely, so listeners might not know, but like Patrick will dance at weddings quite a bit with me, but it just takes like the special song to get him out there, and Heya was definitely one of those songs. Mm-hmm. And let's see, number 7, I Don't Want to Know. Number 6, The Reason. Oh my gosh, Hoobastank. Do you remember The Reason?
Had the number 5 song for the year. That's wild.
It was emotional. And then number 5, The Way You Move, Outkast.
Okay, I know that song.
Yes, you do. Number 4, This Love by Maroon 5.
I know that song.
Yes, you do. Number 3, If I Ain't Got You by Alicia Keys. You do.
Okay.
You do. Yeah.
All right.
You do.
All right.
And then number 2, Burn by Usher. You know it. You
I do. Okay.
But number 1, you really know. Because number 1 was another song that became a wedding classic for Patrick. So much so that my colleagues think of it as his song. And there's even a dance associated with it that they call the Patrick Bromley. The number 1 song of 2004 was Yeah by Usher. Featuring Lil Jon and Ludacris.
All right.
And that you will not ever show anyone.
No.
Because this is not a YouTube channel. It's a podcast. But how could I convince you to make a video of you doing that dance and I'll put it up for our listeners?
You cannot.
Oh, my gosh. There's got to be a way.
There's not.
Maybe our friends who are listening could, like, figure out a way to talk you into it in the comments.
Sure.
Someone will...
Let them try.
Okay. Look, what if we find, like a Toby Hooper signed... No, that I don't know. If we could bring him back to life, Patrick would for sure
dance
on YouTube.
If you could reanimate my favorite director, I'll do the dance.
Okay. Let's keep that in mind. All right, so those were the top 10 songs. And then movies. Do you
well,
want
don't
me to...
do movies, because
no.
It might step on our lists.
It doesn't. I mean, I haven't seen your list yet, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that...
There's going to be at least one.
There's one or two.
That I know of.
Yeah. And there's... Listen, I'm looking at the top 20 right now. And many of them I liked, but they didn't make the cut
for my list.
Yeah. But it's
so let's come back to that at the end, maybe. And let's do our lists now.
All right, baby.
Since you are my beautiful wife, you may go first.
My number 10.
In 2004.
In 2004. Now.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Not everyone. People who are.
Those who listen to the show are already expecting it. So.
And I just want to thank everyone for their support and understanding me. It's been very helpful, and just you make me feel like I'm an okay person. So thank you. I love you all for understanding me and knowing me so well. On my 2004 list, I had 7, 8, 9, and 10 written out. So it's 4 spots. And I had 5 movies in those spots. And I had them on, like, lines. I can't describe this. So, like, on number 7, it's just written, like, the title. And then number 8, there's a big space, like a tab key. And then the title. And then number 9, there's 2 tabs. And then the title. And then number 10, there's 2 movies. But then the whole thing, all 5 movies on 4 spots, is circled. And it says, tie, !! And so I clearly was struggling in 2004 with my decision-making as well.
Mm-hmm.
But not with my decision-making about getting married.
Thank you. So what would your number 10 be?
So my number 10, just fair and square, reading the lines,
yeah,
is a tie between Kill Bill Volume 2 and Collateral.
Okay.
But I mean, I might have meant something else, but we'll just go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Collateral we saw on our honeymoon.
I know. We saw so many movies.
We saw a bunch of movies, yeah.
We took a 10-day... I know. We took a 10-day honeymoon, and it was super fun and great, and we just felt so, like, lucky that it all worked out, and we had great weather. Although, the day we left to come back to Chicago, a hurricane was coming to... What beach were we on? Oh, my gosh, why am I blanking?
Clearwater?
Yeah, we were at Clearwater at that point, and they were like, everybody has to take shelter probably soon, and the airports are shutting down, and our flight was one of the last ones to get out, so yeah. We felt very lucky for that. Anyway,
So Kill Bill Volume 2
and Collateral. Tied.
What is your new number 10?
My new number 10? Oh, God. Why do I have to go first?
Because I love you.
Okay, my new number 10 was going to be I Heart Huckabees, and then I changed it to Man on Fire.
Okay.
And then I just kind of left them both there.
So it's still a tie. So we switched a tie for a different tie.
Do you love me?
I do.
Okay, so there you go. A tie for a tie. Yeah. What about you?
Do you want to talk about those at all?
Oh, yeah, right. For this show, for this 2004 redo, we rewatched a lot. Still not enough. It's impossible. We have, you know, jobs and kids and lives. And
it was months ago because it was before our basement flooded, right. Which was in April.
Yes, that's right.
So it's been several months since we rewatched a lot of these.
Right. We didn't rewatch enough. But so I feel like these movies might come up again.
Okay.
But we can definitely talk about them now if you want.
No, we don't have to.
Okay. Yeah, let's go to your number 10.
Okay. My list falls apart right away. So because my number 10 in 2004... was Spanglish.
Yes.
The James L. Brooks movie, his follow-up to As Good As It Gets. I wanted to like, you know, I think in 2004 I told myself, well, Spanglish is like this messy movie because it's about how life is messy.
Right.
And it means well, and when it works, it really works. And then we rewatched Spanglish.
Yeah.
And it was rough.
Yeah.
It does not belong on any list. There are still good scenes in it.
Yes,
there are still
really great moments in that movie still.
Good performances, but then there's a ton of stuff that is garbage.
And why? Why is it garbage, Patrick?
Because it's completely dishonest about how humans behave and communicate. The Taya Leone character is impossibly written, and
she's
saddled
so
with
over the top.
Not her fault.
I don't blame the actor at all.
She plays the part as written.
Exactly. And I just think that while, yes, I'm sure someone in the world is like, I exactly know that woman. I don't know. I think it would have been so much better realized in some sort of reality.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's good things, Adam Sandler, like we said, is good in it.
I think he's good. Mm-hmm.
Paz Vega is good. You know, it introduced us to Sarah Steele, who's great as Adam Sandler's daughter.
Yes, she's so good.
And she's good whenever she shows. She doesn't show up in enough stuff, but every time she does, she's great.
What else did we see her in, like, after? I feel like right
after
that,
she was in Please Give
yes.
a couple years later, and then she was on The Good Wife for many years, which...
Yes.
I will now out you as watching every episode of The Good Wife.
I did. Well, not at the end, right?
You watched it.
Did I watch it till the end?
100%.
For real?
Yes.
Wow. I did.
Because it was set in Chicago, and Erica has a weakness for things that are set in Chicago.
It doesn't even matter if it wasn't all filmed. Like one scene every fifth episode was like actually in Chicago, and it's like, oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. And then, like, sometimes you, like, have a friend who's an extra or something so exciting. Anyway.
So Spanglish is not great, and maybe I was trying to distinguish my top 10 list in some way by putting it on there. My new number 10 is Collateral, which is, like, my, you know, probably fourth favorite Michael Mann movie, maybe my fifth favorite Michael Mann movie. It's not up there with my favorites, but it's still a really good movie. I think the first hour is really, really great. I think the longer it goes on, the less I'm invested in it.
Yeah.
And I really felt that on the most recent rewatch. Mm-hmm. But all the performances are great. The photography is great. It's a really cool movie. It's just not one of my favorite Michael Manns. So that's why it's my 10.
Okay. Going back to Spanglish really quickly, when we rewatched it during these pandemic times, it felt so out of touch, and that's not fair. But there, that was part of it too. Like some of the things that they were maybe worried about, or some. And it's not fair. It's not fair to do that. But it just, it's like a different time. It's not fair, but I just couldn't help it. So that was also something I was struggling with a little bit during our rewatch. But okay, my old number 9. So my number 9 from 2004 was I Heart Huckabees.
Okay, which dropped one spot to 10.
Yeah, okay. My new number 9, or yeah, my new number 9 was Million Dollar Baby.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Trying to make sense of.
There's some crossing out and some arrows and some things. Yeah. So Million Dollar Baby, I thought had been much higher on my old one, but now I'm seeing that I don't know what happened, but I thought it, my memory was that it was much higher on my old one. And this time watching it again, it was like a pandemic mood. I struggled with the. I struggle with everything. The color,
It's a very dark movie. Yeah. Everything is in shadow.
Right. And so, like, the color and the theme and the performances are really good, but it's just all so dark and heavy, and I'm sure that most people listening have seen it. Still great performances, and it just suffers from there's so much sadness that, like, I can't handle it right now, but I recognize that it's well done. And then by the end, and this is the thing that gets me, is the score. And this happened in another Clint Eastwood movie that we watched where now I hear the score and now I love this movie so much, even though I didn't. But the score just like ate away at my heart in a way that I don't know. So, yeah.
So
that was Roger Ebert's number 1, I believe.
It was higher up on my list in 2004.
Yeah.
It is also my new number 9.
Oh.
So we matched there.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Matchy, matchy nines.
Greens.
And I had a similar response where it was like, I remember in 2004 being kind of knocked out by the fact that like I had no idea where that movie was going to go. I thought it was a boxing movie because the marketing, I don't think, gave away what happens about 90 minutes in. And it becomes a very different movie about something very, very different. And I remember being really knocked out by it and really thinking it was great. Mm-hmm. I have not gone back to revisit it because that's not a movie that you can like rewatch. So this was probably the first time since 2004 that I rewatched it. And there were some things that stood out to me as being a little over the top this time. Similar to, you know, what we saw in Mystic River, a different kind of over the top because like in Mystic River, it's sort of the dramatic histrionics. And here the drama is so subdued and quiet, as you pointed out, but there's some other stuff that's real big and over the top, like the Jay Baruchel character who wants to be a boxer, or Hilary Swank's family being sort of this gang of white trash opportunists and... some of that stuff rang a little false, but again, the stuff that works, like the photography, like the score, like in particular, Hilary Swank's performance.
Right.
And she won the Oscar, and I think it's well-deserved. Morgan Freeman also won the Oscar, which seems more like, well, it's your turn. Because he and Clint Eastwood both just kind of growl their performances at one another. But there's a ton of great stuff in it. So that's my new 9.
Okay.
My old 9 was Metallica, Some Kind of Monster.
Yes. I loved that documentary.
It's great.
Yeah. I think that is officially in my honorable mentions.
Okay. It's going to come up again.
Yeah. Okay. So, where are we?
We're on
Can we go back for a second really quickly? You made this little joke that probably no one heard where you said matchy, matchy nines.
Yes.
Which is a reference to matchy, matchy greens.
Yes.
Which is a quote from Return to Me.
Correct.
Which I think probably no one in the entire universe is quoting that movie today. Or, no, maybe they are, but they're not quoting that line.
Bonnie Hunt might be.
She might be. Let's call her.
All right.
I wish we could hang out with Bonnie Hunt.
I do too.
But that brought me to a thought that I've wondered a lot. Like, I would love for people, I should write something about this and then maybe people will like respond, or they can respond now. I don't know. What's something that you quote? Like, what's a movie you quote that is so just like the quote is so dumb or the movie's so dumb? Return to Me is not dumb. We love Return to Me.
Right.
But like, I think about Coyote Ugly. We quote.
To be fair, we're quoting the trailer for Coyote Ugly because we saw it so many times.
Yes.
The same way we quote the trailer for Crazy Beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Taryn Manning saying, right. Oh my God, you're so obvious.
So obvious.
We say, you're so obvious.
Every other
to this day.
Right.
Because we saw the trailer for Crazy Beautiful 1,000 times.
And so we saw Coyote Ugly. The trailer 1,000 times. Maybe we watched the movie 1,000 times. There's no shame.
No, we haven't.
No, I'm kidding. But Coyote Ugly, what is it? She says, like, stop staring at my butt. And he says, I'm still only staring for the first 15 minutes.
I don't know if she says, stop staring at my butt. Something about
maybe
staring.
That's implied or something. Or maybe I'm just thinking about her butt. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing with a butt. Forget I said anything about a butt. I'm sorry I brought up the butt. I'm always bringing up the butt.
I was only staring for the first 15 minutes.
And we quote that almost every day. And so I'm just wondering, like, is there anyone else out there quoting something that is so just obscure? Because people always do this to me, like, oh, you love movies. And then they
quote
say,
Caddyshack.
Yes, it's like, quote Caddyshack is number one. But then number
Erica
two.
Erica does this to me. To be fair, Erica does this to me all the time. And it's always one of three movies. It's either Hairspray, Can't Buy Me Love, or what's the third one?
Grease, Cocktail, something dumb.
Okay, I guess
that
it's four movies because it could be Grease and it could be
Ghostbusters?
Cocktail.
Ghostbusters?
No, I would
you
know
would
Ghostbusters.
You would know Ghostbusters, yeah. It's
Hairspray,
like,
Can't Buy Me Love.
It's just those
cocktail,
two, maybe.
I think. You don't really quote Grease that much.
No, I don't.
But
I'm
you
just
quote those other three. You'll do a line from one of those and you'd be like, what's that from? And I've gotten good at guessing from context clues.
Right. Now he's like, oh, yeah, I got it. But it's like he just knows it's one of those two or three movies. So he guesses. When he says Hairspray, it's almost always the right answer. I'm like, yeah, you got it. Oh, wait.
I've seen Hairspray. I just don't know it that well.
Well, what the heck?
We're
talking about John Waters' Hairspray. I mean, yeah. That's...
You don't quote the Adam Shankman one?
Nope. No. So anyway, what is that, like, dumb, not dumb, whatever. What is that movie that you quote that you don't think, oh, I was going to say that people will be like, oh, you love movies. And so they're like testing me. But it's
it's the worst.
Well, just because I love movies doesn't mean I watched your favorite movie 500 times. I haven't memorized every line from every movie.
That you commit all the dialogue to memory. Some people are like that.
Yes. No, right.
And lots of people aren't. Right. I'm not a person like that. No. I don't commit dialogue to memory for the most
part. Even though you can probably list every movie we own right now in this basement, which is crazy.
I might be.
Your brain just works like that. Yes.
But
that's how your brain.
Dialogue.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right. You're
all right,
old
my
number
old
eight.
Number eight. Closer.
Okay.
I think I was really into this sexy story.
It's an
with
adult
these sexy
drama.
Exactly. And I was like, ooh,
I'm
an adult
Nichols.
Now. I'm getting married.
Might have been after we were married. I think
really?
That came out in the fall.
Well, there you go.
You were
I'm an adult now. I'm
and you're
married.
Like, what if this happens to us?
Well, can I be with Julia Roberts?
What if I'm seduced by a photographer? I think that happens to someone.
Yeah, there's
in the
like
movie,
a photographer, a journalist. Right?
Who's the journalist?
I don't know. Do I have to Google this?
No,
jeez,
no.
Closer.
Let's just move on. Natalie Portman is a stripper.
Yeah, that's why I was really connecting.
Because at some point in their career, every Hollywood actress has to play either a stripper or a prostitute.
Or a journalist.
Sometimes. Stripper or prostitute will always come first.
Yeah. There was a song from that movie that you put on a tape for me, though.
The Blower's Daughter?
Yep.
From the trailer to
you
Closer?
You did. Why are we so weird? We love
I don't know.
Did anyone else love the song
Damien
for the trailer?
Rice.
It worked, though. You put it on tape for me. I married you. Well, that was after. Okay, yeah, it came out December 3rd, 2004.
There you
so
go. We were there opening
day,
baby.
We were like months in. Yeah, we were.
Two for Closer. We're grown-ups.
And apparently I was really into, I mean, Julia Roberts. Look at that cast.
No, it's good.
Ebert loved it. I think Ebert had it on his honorable mentions. I don't remember. I'm not going to Google these things right now, but
I can't make
Mike
fun.
Nichols,
I put Spanglish on
Julia
my list.
Julia Roberts, Jude Law. That was in my original honorable mentions. Natalie Portman, Clive Owen. Come on. Let's watch it again.
Sure. Once we get the DVD out of a box, we can watch
it
again.
We're so close, you guys. Not really. We're only like a third of the way through. Okay.
IKEA was out of shelves.
I know.
So otherwise
IKEA,
we would be done already.
Everything,
but
right? The desks. Has anyone tried to buy a desk? to build their children, like, not like a huge desk, just like a nice little writing desk for your children who will possibly have to be remote learning and everything is stressful. Anyone else out there? Okay, well, the desks at IKEA that we wanted were, like, on back order forever. Anyway, that was my old number eight. My new number eight is Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll come up again.
Okay.
But you can certainly talk about it.
Yeah, no, I just, like, we rewatched it last October. It's so great. It's so smart. It's so funny. I love it. It's very simple. I don't think there's anything more to say. Shaun of the Dead. If anyone hasn't watched Shaun of the Dead in the wild, they should.
We saw it, I guess, opening night with another movie. Do you remember what the other movie was that we saw?
Now that you are bringing this up?
With, like, Mike and Christy.
Oh, I miss going out with Mike and Christy.
I miss going out with anyone.
I know, right? Which is so funny to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Because usually he's like, I just want to stay home with you.
Well, no, I do. But, like, it's nice to have the option of going to a movie with people.
Right, yeah.
Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Double feature. I remember seeing the trailer for Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow and being like, that's the future of movies. Like, yeah, movies are going to be all green screen now.
Oh, gosh.
And in some ways they are, but, like, Sky Captain was not the future of movies.
Right. No. Did Sky Captain bomb at the box office?
I believe so. And, of course, has a cult following, and there are people who really like it. I have not tried to revisit it. It might be really good.
Okay, you know how earlier we talked about Million Dollar Baby?
And I remember. You said, it was on this podcast.
Yeah, it was, like, a few minutes ago. And you said, I saw it in the theater. We saw it in the theater, but I haven't watched it since, right?
Yes.
So here's what I want to say. Is Million Dollar Baby is a movie that we saw in the theater and I haven't watched it since, but I've thought about it actually quite a lot.
Okay.
And Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow is a movie that we saw in the theater and I have not thought about once ever since then.
For whatever reason, I think a lot of the movies that we saw in 2004 I have not revisited. And I know it's like as we get older, we rewatch stuff less.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's Doc Hollywood. But because we're always watching new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go back to stuff we've seen less often. But it seems like as we were doing this exercise for 2004 movies,
mm-hmm.
so many of the movies were like, well, I haven't watched this since 2004, even though, you know, we would own the DVD or whatever.
Right.
I hadn't watched it in 16 years.
Right.
Because that's going to come up again as we talk about some of these other movies.
It feels like we used to when we were younger. I mean, I know that I was always buying the movies that I loved the most. The ones that were like, I know it was important to me to own them, to collect them, right? And
yeah.
then we got together, we started like, you know, consciously like not buying the same ones because you said early on, like, I think that, you know.
In 2004, we'll get married.
And combine our collections. Yeah. And, but now
we
I feel like.
We don't want two copies of John Singleton's Shaft. That would be lunacy.
Well, we could have two.
I guess.
You know. But now I feel like we often are buying ones that we just want to see because they're available nowhere else.
That's like, what I was going to say.
Yeah, right.
Instead
it's
of like buying the movies that I love, now it's like I buy the movies that I want to see.
Right.
Because how else are we going to see them?
Right. Right.
We just bought all these movies from Twilight Time. I have a cart right now of like five more because
right.
I'm like, oh, I can't see these otherwise.
I know. Why is Gwyneth Paltrow so pretty? I'm looking at stills from Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
You ready for these two reasons? Bruce Paltrow and Blythe Danner.
I thought you were going to bring up like her Goop website
Blythe.
And her like...
Somebody had a really funny...
Vagina cleanses or something.
Somebody had a really funny
look how pretty she is,
tweet
though.
About
oh
Gwyneth
God.
Paltrow the other day because some new story came out
okay.
where it was like, she said everything, she learned how to give a blowjob from
what?
Some other celebrity. Some
oh.
other celebrity taught me how to give a blowjob.
Okay.
And
celebs teach that?
Somebody like retweeted that and said, I feel like everything I learn about Gwyneth Paltrow is by force. Which is true. It's like, I didn't ask to know any of the things that I know about Gwyneth Paltrow,
right.
and yet it's constantly being pushed on me. My old number eight, Spider-Man 2.
Ah.
Spider-Man 2. My new number eight, Sideways.
Okay.
Which drops substantially
wow,
from my original
yeah.
2004 list.
Okay.
Not because I think it's a worse movie necessarily, but just because it's less a movie for me with where I'm at in my life now.
Sure.
It wasn't necessarily a movie for me then because I'm not a wine drinker. I'm a failed writer, sure.
Oh,
but like,
gosh.
I'm not this. So I back then I was not middle-aged, alcoholic, divorced.
You're still not any of those things. You might be middle-aged.
Yeah. So in some ways it should be more a movie for me in terms of where the character was at in his life, but I just feel less connected to it. I still really like the performances, obviously, and I really like the way Alexander Payne shoots America.
Mm-hmm.
I remember feeling like, oh, they go to a diner at some point and the waitress like feels like, The server mm-hmm. feels like the server who's really in that diner. Like they just cast the person who was actually working instead of going to central cast. The photography is obviously very beautiful. You know, there's a little bit of that, like, oh, this is a movie made by a middle-aged man about, you know, finding this perfect woman mm-hmm. and overcoming his failures.
Right.
It's like,
finding
well,
we've
seen this movie a lot of times from male directors in Hollywood, you know.
Right.
But it's still a good version of that movie.
Right.
But that's why it's my 8.
Yeah. I remember really loving it in 2004 and recommending it to a lot of people because it was, if you weren't like a movie lover, you know, people didn't really know about it. And yeah, we recommended it to, I think, my boss.
Yeah. And he hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt bad. Oh, my gosh.
It's not a movie that, like, anybody would like, you know? It's not a crowd pleaser.
Right.
Necessarily.
I just thought there were, you know, nuanced performances and some things to think
it's
about.
Good, right.
And again, we were so young when we saw it, so it is funny to think that we, especially to think that you were liking it even more back
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, on our recent rewatch, I still liked it, and I was really thinking about a lot more about the female characters this time around than when I first saw it. I think it's just like the leads are male, so I'm thinking about their experiences.
Such a movie about
and now,
men,
right,
though,
right,
know?
I know, like, I know. And some of the stuff. Oh my gosh! I mean, Thomas Hayden Church is good at playing that guy for sure, but sometimes
I still think. Also, in 2004, I was guilty, and this comes up again and again as we redo these list shows of like where I'm guilty of succumbing to a little bit of like critical peer pressure.
Oh, okay.
I think Sideways should be really high because it's this critically lauded, beloved movie, so I put it way up higher on my list, even though maybe it's not the movie that speaks to me the most, you know.
But there's something. I mean, even on the recent watch, there was still something about like the tough moments and the tough honesty that had to go on between some of the characters. I mean, look at I just am pulling up Roger Ebert's review, and the headline is "Sideways, brilliant in any way you look at it." So you know, we both like growing up and loving Ebert so much. I'm sure that influences us a little bit.
Definitely.
But yeah, again, I couldn't really connect to their interests or their hobbies or whatever, but I definitely did think that there was a lot to just take from some of the honest conversations and honest writing that does come out in between like the big Thomas Hayden Church moments and whatever, you know.
Right. All right, number 7.
Okay.
Moving on to 7, which is the end of your 5-way tie.
That's exactly right. My old number 7. Thank you for remembering that, by the way. That's very important to me.
I remember everything about
you. That's why we're married. Okay, number 7, The Aviator was my old 2004. And my new number 7 is Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
And I feel like that dropped, and I feel like it's probably not even legit. Like, I'm going to go ahead and say that my current list... No, this is not even a tie thing. This is just like... And we didn't rewatch Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2 we did not rewatch.
Though I've seen it a lot more than most of these movies.
Yeah, me too. Which is why we didn't rewatch it.
Right. Looking at it right now, I'm kind of feeling like, oh, Spider-Man 2 should be higher on my list.
Okay.
But, you know, I can't change it now. I'm locked in. What will the leaders or the ruler? What will my bosses say to me? Wait, no one cares.
Well, and Spider-Man 2 is like a perfect movie for the summer that we got married. Not only because we loved Spider-Man, but also because it ends with Mary Jane in a wedding dress.
Oh my gosh!
And She's played by Kirsten Dunst, and Erica is always being compared to Kirsten Dunst. So there's this connection. I associate Erica with Mary Jane. And for our wedding, our friends gave us a set of two dolls, a Spider-Man and a Mary Jane in her wedding dress.
Yes.
That we still have.
We still have it from Lauren and Steve. Yeah. Again, second mention of Lauren and Steve.
Wow. They're really getting a lot of play on this podcast.
You used to call me Mary Jane even before we were dating.
I did.
Well, you didn't call me her, but you just...
I don't know if I called you Mary Jane.
You just make a comparison.
I probably made the comparison, yeah. I don't doubt that that's the case. No, Spider-Man 2 is great, and we'll come up again in just a few minutes, I think. Oh, Erica has found it.
So I know that no one can see me, but here it is, still there in the box. With the original ribbon around it, because we didn't want to, but the superposable Spider-Man and Mary Jane.
Superposable.
Exclusive 12-inch collector set.
You should take a picture of it so we can tweet it out when the podcast goes out.
Yay! Oh my gosh, look, this is so great, isn't it?
Yeah, still has the bow around it and everything.
I know.
All right, so my old seven, right?
Yes.
Was a movie very much of the moment, and that is Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yes.
A documentary that felt very... important, and
it was
in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It wound up doing no good because Bush was reelected in 2004.
Oh gosh!
And now, you know, hey, what we wouldn't give to have George Bush back.
Yeah,
so, so that does not appear on my new list. We didn't even rewatch it, but I just know that like there's no point in rewatching it because it's a documentary that was made to exist in the year 2004 and almost is irrelevant beyond that, you know, as a time capsule of what was going on in the country, it might be kind of interesting as an essay film about one filmmaker's opinion of that administration. It's probably interesting, but in terms of being on a 10 best list, I just don't see it making mine. So it's replaced. My new number seven is the only other documentary to appear on my list, and that is Metallica, Some Kind of Monster, which I'm not even a Metallica fan. I don't listen to them. But I just think this documentary is so good about kind of breaking down this band and what makes them tick and the whole creative process. It's about, you know, it comes at just the right time. It's this moment where this band is sort of reinventing itself and trying to find its way, writing an album in the studio, going through therapy together at the same time.
I loved all that stuff. I felt like I hadn't seen scenes like those on screen for a band like that. But I know that I'm sure there was stuff before my time that I haven't caught up with, you know.
No, it's so interesting and so watchable. It's long. It's like 2.5 hours, but I'm totally into it all the way. Again, even though I don't really like the music, and I don't really like the music that they're writing. I'm not necessarily a Metallica fan, but I think even for a Metallica fan, some of the music they're writing at that time is not great because they're writing it together in the moment in the studio. It's not their best stuff, but it almost doesn't matter because that's not what the movie is about. I just think it's a great documentary.
Yeah.
So,
I loved it too. And it was on my honorable mentions and it still is on my honorable mentions, I guess. So,
all right. Yeah.
Okay. My old number six.
Old six.
2004. My number six was Before Sunset.
Okay.
And my new number six is The Aviator.
Okay. Do you want to talk about... probably The Aviator.
Yeah, so...
which was where on your list originally?
On my original list, it was number seven.
Okay.
So I guess it moved up one spot?
Just one.
Right, which... okay, so my memory is that I liked The Aviator but didn't love it. But yet, here it is on my old list. And so my recent watch was, oh, I really like it. And Martin Scorsese can do no wrong. And I just want to be in any world he creates all the time. Yeah, I thought it was... my heart was breaking this time when we watched. Just thinking about everything that he went through.
Yeah.
Why am I blanking?
Howard Hughes.
Thank you, yeah. And how... it was during a time when people didn't really understand and have the same amount of empathy for struggles like that. I mean, there were people who cared about and for him, but it wasn't the same. I mean, I don't know. We've come such a long way, thankfully, and not far enough. I mean, there's still so much we need to do to help and support people with different issues like that, right? But he must have felt so alone with some of those issues and thoughts and fears, and yeah. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's emotional. I mean, I assume everybody's seen The Aviator, but maybe not. If you haven't seen The Aviator, I'm going to say, of all the movies on this list, find that one.
Yeah.
Tonight.
It's another long one. It's like almost 3 hours. But it goes by quickly.
Yeah, that's something I also thought on our recent watch, was that it didn't seem as long as it is. Is that streaming anywhere?
I'm sure you can rent it on Amazon. I mean,
okay.
It's not
on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
It's on Hulu.
All right.
Well, and
that works.
Encore East West.
If you're an Encore subscriber, or you just watch it on Hulu, that works.
Yeah.
My Old Six was on your list and possibly is still on your list. Okay. I can't remember. There were ties. Oh. It's throwing me off. I Heart Huckabees.
Oh, yeah.
Where is it now? Is it tied for 10th?
Yeah.
Okay. On the new one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is no longer on my list.
Okay.
It fell off after this recent rewatch. Again, I think in 2004, I really wanted to love the new David O. Russell movie because he had made Three Kings, and I think that movie is such a masterpiece.
Agreed.
That I was very excited for a new David O. Russell. And it's different from a lot of other movies. There's very little I can compare it to. It's sometimes, I think, a little quirky for its own, a little too quirky for its own good.
Yes.
But Mark Wahlberg is really funny in it.
He is.
Jude Law is really funny. Naomi Watts is really funny. Dustin Hoffman, Lily Tomlin. You know, you can't divorce. It's hard to divorce yourself from those clips of them fighting with David O. Russell, Tomlin just screaming at him.
Oh, gosh.
As he watched the movie. Yeah, yeah. Everybody's good, and I admire what it's going for.
Mm-hmm.
I just, it didn't make my new list. My new number six is Spider-Man 2, which we kind of already talked about. Still, I think my favorite superhero movie of all time. Spider-Man is my favorite superhero of all time, and it's my favorite Spider-Man movie. I think it's my favorite of any of the superhero movies that have come out.
We were Mary Jane and Spider-Man for Halloween.
We were, yeah. Mm-hmm. Before Spider-Man 2, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Best ending of any superhero movie.
I remember you reacting to it so well.
Because, again, he cuts back to her, and it says everything about what makes Spider-Man so special in terms of the character relationships and the dynamics, and that there are people who worry about him, you know, and like it's such a human thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he put that into his $200 million superhero movie just shows what a special movie it is.
Yeah.
And I love it a lot. It's my number six.
And you love the love.
And I love the love.
I know.
And that's part of the reason why, you know, Spider-Man 3 doesn't connect for me. There's, a lot of things wrong with Spider-Man 3, but one of its problems is that one of the first things it does is, like, bust up Peter and Mary Jane instead of saying, like, let's look at their functioning relationship while he's still Spider-Man. It's like, well, they can't make a go of it, so let's have them break up.
Right, which is always, to us, lazy writing in any like TV show or movie where it's like, no, we're interested in seeing how they make a go of it, right? Like, that's, I don't know.
Most will they or won't they is the first thing they do is break them up because they're like, well, I don't know how to answer this now.
Right.
You know, or they give them all kinds of...
Didn't they even give Jim and Pam, like...
Yes,
we always block it. Right, we block that out because we're so in love with other stuff.
Right.
But we block that out. Like, that they... All this nonsense, like, problems, that's not how they would have...
Nope.
...handled anything.
So dumb. So dumb.
So dumb.
All right, you're number five. We're in the top half now.
How many movies have we mentioned Jude Law and Naomi Watts?
I don't know.
They had such an amazing 2004. You brought up Jude Law again, And I just feel like some of these actors were busy. You know, we keep naming them over and over again. Like, wow.
Well, Jude Law's always busy.
Yeah, how'd they get a break? Okay.
Because didn't you keep saying the Alfie remake? Was that 2004?
Was it 2004?
I don't know, but you keep, because you keep listing other movies. Like, would this be on my list? Would this be on my list? Right. And I feel like one of them that
Alfie,
you keep
Alfie!
Is Alfie. Great song.
2004, also available on Hulu, and you also put songs from Alfie on that same
because those Mick Jagger songs are
for
amazing.
Me. Yeah.
Best thing about the movie,
oh my
for
gosh.
Sure.
So, yeah, for sure. What is up, Elfie? Oh my gosh.
All right,
I'm
what's
looking
your
at
five?
Pictures. My old five was Fahrenheit 9/11.
Ooh, higher than mine.
Yes. Well, but it dropped
you
off
do love
as well.
Documentaries.
I do love documentaries. And I really, even just the memory of seeing that, it felt like an experience that we needed. You know?
Yeah, no, like, our audience like
applauded and stood, and it was just, it was so special to feel like united and unified like that. And as much as we are homebodies and we love to stay home and just whatever, I do miss that too. Those like moments, special moments. I think that's why a lot of people miss film festivals and things too, because you have that feeling that comes from everybody being united and like loving or being moved, just being moved by something. It doesn't even mean that you love, but anyway, I was number five and I thought it was so important. And to be fair, and I did watch that, actually I watched that for a while, and I even used that in my documentary unit at one point, you know, for specific things that I was teaching. But it's not on here, and I hate not having a documentary on my list. And I have a couple of my honorable mentions, because I think Born into Brothels came out that year too.
I believe so.
There was a documentary that came out that year, I think about...
called Alfie.
It is true to life. Non-fiction.
What a cad
it's
that
the
Alfie
life
is.
Of Jude Law.
Will he ever settle down?
Jula. Look at how pretty Sienna Miller is. Gosh.
I'm still thinking about how pretty Gwyneth Paltrow is.
I know.
I'm not actually, but no, that's where you
I
told
am.
Me to think.
I am still thinking about that.
No,
I'm
fine.
Looking up hot blondes on the internet here.
You're a hot blonde on the internet.
It's true. I'm right in front of you, babe. Okay, wait. What are we talking about? Fahrenheit 9/11.
Number five,
documentaries.
Your new five.
My new five is Collateral.
Oh,
higher
wow,
on my
higher
list
than
on yours. Yes, because here's the thing. I love
twice as high.
Twice as high. Oh, my gosh.
It was 10 for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Barely made it on
mine. I just...
barely squeaked on.
Ooh. Well, I'm giving it a strong go because I love how it looks and I love the performances. And I love very much... that's one of those movies that I loved how I felt in it, mm-hmm. despite what was going on. It doesn't even matter. I just love how I felt in it. I like the mood and the atmosphere and the music. And
I remember when we saw it opening night again on our honeymoon. At the Universal City Walk.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the whole opening with Jamie Foxx and Jada Pinkett mm-hmm. Smith.
Which I love their chemistry.
It's great.
Yeah.
And I remember when Tom Cruise shows up, we were like, oh, right, that's this movie.
Right?
I could just watch the movie about them.
Yes.
I don't need for this to turn into the thriller about the hitman.
Right. As much as I love to see Tom Cruise in a role like
that,
and
you settle into it,
yes,
and it's
fine.
And
no,
it becomes
totally.
Very good. He's great in it.
Oh. Yeah.
He was doing press for the movie then. We had this hotel at Universal that famously in our life, you could get the sound for the TV in the bathroom. And it was like Erica's favorite thing ever. There was no TV in the bathroom, but you could hear the sound. And I remember her listening to Tom Cruise interviews in the bathroom because he was doing press for Collateral the week that we were at Universal on our honeymoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
That bathroom was awesome. Why is it just... It wasn't actually a TV. It was just the sound,
right? That's
what I'm
saying. Yeah, it
right.
was just they piped
still,
the audio
oh
in
my
from
gosh.
The TV.
It was a dream come true. Just like, I want to hear my Hollywood celebrities interviewed in the loudspeaker in our... What? It was the Portofino. The
Portofino
Bay Hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so fun.
It was.
That was sweet. That was part of our 10-day honeymoon. We saw a lot of movies on our honeymoon.
We did, because, again,
nerds.
They were at the Universal City Walk, and it was so close to our hotel that we saw Little Black Book, the Brittany Murphy movie that I'll bet you haven't thought about.
Nope.
We saw The Village.
Yeah.
That was when we were at Disney, though.
Yeah.
That was on whatever Disney's.
I don't remember, but yeah.
We went to Disney. Planet Hollywood, and then we ate at Planet Hollywood, and then went to the Village, and loved it.
So many people are like, but you could see movies anytime. We're like, but we want to see them now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We're also doing other honeymoon stuff.
We made a choice to see Catwoman.
There are 24 hours in the day, and we're not really sleeping here, so right. It's fine. yeah, what else do we see?
Besides Catwoman?
Catwoman, The Village, Little Black Book, Collateral.
I want to say the Manchurian Candidate remake.
Okay.
If that was 2004, search it up, as okay. Rosie would say.
It was 2004.
Like, okay, then yeah, we saw that as well. Okay. And I think we were going to see Harold and Kumar.
Yes.
But we didn't. We waited until we came home
okay.
and saw it with JB and Jan.
Yes.
And then went to White Castle. And I think that's the only time in my life I've ever had White Castle.
Mine too. It was my first and last time.
After seeing Harold yeah. and Kumar.
It was like a whole thing. I remember John was like, and I'm going to go to White Castle yeah. now. And I'm going to get the White Castle. And we went back to their house and it was super
and
fun.
We ate White Castle. And got super stoned, because that's what those movies are about, is getting stoned. We didn't get stoned.
Have you ever done, like, a drug like that? We've never done drugs. We're such dorks.
We're lame.
We are. Sorry, everyone.
Where are we at? Five?
Yeah, old five.
My old five, mm-hmm. Before Sunset.
Okay.
My new five, a brand new movie to this list.
Okay.
I think there's only four movies that are brand new to the list.
Okay.
The Aviator.
Yay!
Wasn't on my list at all okay. in 2004.
Okay.
Number five now.
Okay.
Because again, we rewatched it, which was the first time I'd seen it since 2004.
Okay.
I have no idea why I was not crazy about it in 2004. I remember thinking, like, it was good, kind of okay. Really loved it. You know, loved all the stuff about filmmaking. Harder to watch some of the later stuff as his mental illness really begins to get the better of him, but very, very well done. An amazingly made film. The cast is incredible. Gwen mm-hmm. Stefani really shines. just kidding. But I remember she came on screen and you said, like, oh, nobody else could have played that part. Like, jokingly, like, obviously.
Yeah. No offense.
But I get it.
Another hot blonde. I think she's beautiful.
I kind of get the casting.
Right.
Because there's a shorthand. There's a way of... She brings her own celebrity and iconography the way that he wanted to very quickly say, so does this actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really, really, really thought The Aviator was pretty fantastic. And I remember in the Oscar race of 2004, when I still kind of was following that, feeling like Million Dollar Baby. I thought maybe Scorsese was going to get all of his wins for The Aviator. Because, again, it was his turn. And so Gangs of New York, it didn't happen. So was it going to happen for The Aviator? And when Million Dollar Baby did, I was like, really happy, because I thought it was a better movie and I
right.
thought Clint Eastwood had done a better job as director. I would probably reverse that position now, but I also have a stronger attachment to Martin Scorsese than I do to Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
What's next? Four?
My old four was Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
So, still on my
list. So, lower on your list
lower.
Now.
Yeah, but
that's
honestly,
crazy.
No, I don't think that...
It's fine.
I'm not doing ties. I was trying to be really good and not have ties, but, like, this middle...
Still had a tie.
The little... Well, it was the middle bunch here. It was literally, like, the 5, 6, 7, which
okay.
is Collateral, The Aviator, Spider-Man 2, and I was kind of like, those are all that spot, you know,
right,
whatever.
Right.
Okay. So, my old
More
four,
or less
Spider-Man
interchangeable.
2. Right. Yeah, okay. yeah, right. And my new number four was... Wait, this got changed. I have to follow my arrow... My new number four, before we were recording, my new number four is Sideways. Sideways.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Sideways still kind of high on my list. I think while we were watching it, I actually thought that it was going to be lower. And then there was like some stuff near the end and just thinking about it. And yeah, so stayed up. I feel like we already talked about Sideways a lot, so I don't want to.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't want to bore the listeners.
Okay.
I mean, there's so many things I could play for them right now, like maybe some music from Elfie.
My old four was Million Dollar Baby.
Okay.
Which is now my number nine.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
My new four, another movie new to this list.
Oh, I can't wait.
Kill Bill Volume 2.
That's new to your list?
Yep. wasn't on my list in 2004.
Oh, it was tied for number 10 for me.
Okay.
On my old list. With Collateral.
Because yeah. I've always liked Volume 2 a little bit less as an individual movie.
Yes.
Again, I'm sure I said this on our 2003 podcast. Kill Bill together as a whole is my favorite Tarantino movie. It's
okay.
the one that I
right.
probably rewatch the most.
Right.
And 2 is obviously half of that. But when you separate it out into its own movie, I rewatched Volume 1 a lot of times, and I rewatch Volume 2 pretty rarely. But I still love it, and it still absolutely deserves a spot on this list, and
yes.
probably pretty high, because mm-hmm. it's a movie that means more to me than the previous 6.
Yeah.
So, it's my 4.
I have a really positive, just, like, my memory of us watching it for your birthday, when we had a big birthday
yeah, it was the last
film, 28-hour film festival marathon.
It was the last movie we watched, and we watched the whole thing.
Right. And that was super fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was your... What
4.
Was that was your new 4?
That's my new 4.
Your new 4. Okay. So my old 3... Oh! Hey! Okay, my old 3 was Garden State.
Mine too.
Really?
Yeah.
Was your old 3?
Yeah.
For real?
Yes.
Okay. Garden State has slipped off my list.
Mine too.
Garden State, oh my gosh, I feel so bad to this movie. Garden State suffers a little bit from the same thing that Spanglish. It was like that's different but similar in that I'm watching this now and everything seems a little less important than in 2004 when I was like, yes, Garden State is feeling me and it's getting me and it's really important that we recognize these feelings and... I don't know. And
it's still
good. I think it's still good. It's just not, I was in 2004, I was all like, yeah,
it's a young person's movie.
Yes.
It's the sad bastard movie you write when you're 22.
Oh my God.
And
I've seen some of your old scripts.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, and this magical girl who's perfect is going to snap me out of this.
Right.
And the music is great, you know, and it's well directed, but it hasn't aged particularly well. And at my stage in life right now, it's I watch it and I'm like, yeah, I get why I liked this as a mm-hmm. younger person, but it doesn't do the same thing for me now, except for conjure up feelings of nostalgia for
right.
what it meant to me in 2005.
Right, because we were listening to the music all the time.
Yes.
And yeah, we really were into it. I mean, it was my number 3.
I loved it.
Yes.
Like,
you put those songs on that
it.
Same. Where is the tape you made for me in 2004?
I don't know the
because
answer.
Because all of this movie music is on it, and it's good. And we do have
it. It was
also
a CD, not a tape, but that's fine.
It was a CD. Well, okay, to be fair.
By the way, we were probably still late with CDs.
We
people
certainly...
are listening. Like, 2004, you were still making CDs and not just like playlists.
No, that's
like
true, that. Right? They were just doing like playlists already.
Yes, I was
already.
Still
oh,
burning CDs.
You're still burning them for me now.
He's
making me one right now. Yeah, but I had like, you got me one of those like cassette tape carriers that fit like 20 tapes.
Oh, you
know, it was like a little box. And
like
I had
the late
it in
90s,
my. Yeah,
yeah,
it was like
I
when
made
we
you lots of tapes.
Started like being friends and then being more friends and then dating.
And then we got married.
I know, but it's because of the tapes. You made like that whole, all those tapes, please. Without the tapes. Sorry, babe.
Whoa.
You're a magical girl, too.
This is news to me.
I would be gone with the tape somewhere else.
With your quirky helmet.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was just a little too much. Like,
yes.
I love love. I love
I know.
Love in movies. I love love that can save. I believe love can do a lot of great things. But too much. The helmet and the everything is like manic something. I don't know.
But in some ways, Sideways is just the adult version
I
of Garden
know,
State.
I know. I was just thinking like a couple months ago, like when I said it suffers the same fate as Spanglish.
Yeah.
In my head, I kind of said, and Sideways too a little. So I don't know why I still like went with that one, but I don't know. I got
Sideways
behind.
Is just the middle-aged man.
Exactly right.
Garden State.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that was my number 3. And my new number 3... Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Interesting.
Yes. This was a late change.
Should
so,
we wait to talk about it? Because it'll
yes.
still come up.
Yeah. So it was number 2 on my new list. And I had to go back and forth in my head. And so, of course, I'm not comfortable with this. But my number 2 got switched. So it was number two. It dropped to number three.
Okay.
This happened just like yesterday or the day before.
Then I think I have your two and one figured out.
But I know you do. Okay.
I know you're one at least. My old three, Garden State, we already talked about. Replaced with a movie that was not on my list in 2004, and that is Shaun of the Dead.
Yay!
Which we already talked about, and Rob and I did a whole podcast on last October.
And everybody should check that out.
But again, talk about a movie that means more to me than Garden State, you know, or a lot of these other movies. Right. A movie that I revisit more often, a movie that I think is just better in every way.
Yeah.
Why I didn't include it on my list in 2004, I don't know. Again, I think...
It was
I felt like my list had to look a certain way.
I know.
And couldn't include certain kinds of movies, even though they were more for me, you know? I don't know exactly.
No, and now thinking about it and talking about it, it's like, of course that's on our list, and especially high up on yours. It was my first honorable mention in 2004, so it was close, you know? But, okay, so that's your new number what?
Three.
Yep. Okay. So my old number two was Sideways. So Sideways did drop a little, but not that much.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This was tough. Again, these middle...
Sideways also my old number two, by the way.
Oh, okay.
We matchy-match a lot.
Yeah, matchy-matchy-matchy-matchy greens. But it dropped a little bit more in yours. Okay, so then my new number two, I think you're going to be surprised by this.
Oh, okay.
It's all interchangeable, and I'm not just saying that to get away with a tie or to include more, right? I'm not. Yeah. It's like right now, because my – what did I just say? My three was Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah.
And my two now is Before Sunset. And you thought it was going to be Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have Before Sunset as my number two.
Interesting. Okay.
Which just tells you that my number one is Kill Bill.
Yes.
So this is all interchangeable, but I think for me, Before Sunset moved up. It was my number six. I love it so much, and it just steals my heart and makes me feel a certain way. And the reason why, I'm going to jump ahead, the reason why Kill Bill Vol. 2 is in the number one spot is because it was representing like an entire filmography of Quentin Tarantino in a way to me. And I know that's not fair because then it's like, well, then why isn't The Aviator number one? You know, you love Martin's good. But I don't know. I just, something about it, maybe I've just been on that like nostalgia train with even Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, thinking about that because the anniversary just came up. But yeah, so my number two is Before Sunset.
All right.
And Before Sunset's super special to us. And I know like, it's just... It's so good. I love movies where people just walk and talk. And those movies, like, were made for me in that sense. Because I can watch anyone just walking and talking. But now if it's people that I really like giving performances that are good and they're talking about things that I care about and they're talking about a variety of things and they're, like, having these loving moments and it seems, like, real and natural, like, that's the perfect movie for me.
My old two was Sideways.
Okay.
My new two is Before Sunset.
Okay.
So we matched exactly.
What?
There. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Matchy. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, what else do you have to say about Before Sunset? It's so and there's a lot. Okay. Wait. Can I really quickly say that 2004, Garden State, we're all like, oh my gosh, the music and the love and all this stuff, right? But then drops off our list. And then 2004, Before Sunset, we're still, oh my gosh, you know, the music, not the same. No, and the love and the talk, whatever. And then why is it that Before Sunset stays for us? Do you know what I mean?
Because I think it's more honest about a lot of things.
Yes.
it's not covering up some of its dishonesty with quirk and, you know, good indie music.
Right.
And it's... You know, if I was going to put one on, I feel like I would put on Before Sunrise because it's like the happiest and the most romantic. And it's like, that's how you want to feel, right? But again, where I'm at in my life now, not that I don't want to feel the love because I feel the love every day with you.
Aww.
Before Sunset is, I think, the best of the three because I think it strikes just the right balance between having all of the romance and love and the possibility
connection
of those things, connection, yes, absolutely. While also acknowledging some of the failures, this idea that, like, well, not everything worked out the way I thought it was going to, that Before Midnight is completely about, you know.
Right.
And again, Before Midnight, the reason why I don't revisit that movie is because it does the thing that we were just talking about, which is it still has Celine and Jesse together, but, like, they fight all the time,
right,
and maybe they're going to split up, and it's like, right, I don't want that for them. That's
right,
not what I want to see them do.
And also,
yes,
we genuinely
honest.
Don't feel like that's where they were going to go. Like, it just feels like
it's... It happens to a lot of couples.
Yes.
I respect that they acknowledge that and that they're
yes.
honest about a lot of that stuff.
Right.
We are a little bit naive in that we want movie love. You know, we
yeah.
have movie love together.
Aww.
We want that in our... screen characters too,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
And so but there's part of me that would watch Before Sunrise now and just be like, well, this is a young man's movie, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Because it was
right.
Before Sunset feels a little more timeless,
right?
I choked on that word. Timeless,
timeless
was what I was trying to
it's
say.
Okay, don't choke, but I'll give you CPR if you need it.
Thank you.
The last scene, the last moment,
it's great.
Yeah,
yeah. Couldn't believe that it faded to black when we saw it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I know. Can I get super schmoopy and personal?
Do it.
I couldn't help but think at the end of that movie about me. I was supposed to go back up to Milwaukee once when I was back home in the Chicagoland area visiting you.
Yeah,
and you were,
you
know, we're hanging out all weekend. And
wasn't it the, didn't we go to a concert?
We might have. Yeah, I think we did.
Well, that was one time
were,
you were supposed
were actually,
to go back
yeah,
and you
were
didn't.
A few times I was supposed to go
yeah.
back up. So, yeah, it was my senior year, I guess, of college. And there were just so – because we would – I didn't come home a lot, actually. I wasn't that – I was usually, like, on my campus. I was out of state and whatever. But when I did come home and hang out with you, we were just, like, hung out nonstop, never stopped talking. Never stopped talking. And that was something that our friends used to – comment on or notice and sometimes get annoyed with. like, why don't you guys
so
ever
supportive.
Stop talking? Well, they didn't. I don't know. But yeah, so I just remember this one time specifically where it's like I had to call up and call my dance team coach and say I wasn't going to make it to the Sunday night practice and I had to figure out a different ride because whoever was going to drive me up on Sunday was going to take me on Sunday. And if I go back on Monday, I don't know who's taking me or something, you know? And so, but it was like that feeling where it's just like, no, I'm going to miss that, you know, ride or that train. But then you
right.
took me to the train station the next day so I could get up there.
Yep.
So thanks for that.
It was my pleasure. Literally. I was lucky that you stayed.
Aww.
I'm still lucky that you stayed.
yeah, I'm still here.
You're still here.
You are.
I'm very lucky. My old one and my new one are the same.
Oh.
I thought maybe they weren't going to be.
Okay.
But they are.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. In 2004, it was easily my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
And for years, I carried it around as the best movie of the 2000s, like the first decade of the 2000s.
Yeah.
And didn't ever revisit it for that reason, because I didn't want the spell to be broken. I was afraid that if I go back and rewatch this, it's not going to be the movie that we saw that day that affected me so deeply.
Right.
And that ultimately is kind of what happened when we rewatched it last week for this podcast. I loved so much of it still, but the ending didn't land for me the way that I remembered it landing.
Okay.
I remembered it being them making a decision and having a pretty long conversation about, like, yes, things clearly got bad between us. Yes, we will probably... screw up. Yes, we will hurt each other, but isn't it still worth it?
Right.
And that's not exactly what the movie says.
Do you think it's implied?
A little bit, but it's just a much faster,
okay.
like, that
right.
wasn't me. What? I would never say that stuff about
yeah.
you. Oh, that's okay. Should we still
go out? But if you
took
out? The meaning,
yeah.
if you took that meaning out of it and it was effective for you and like special and moving for you, maybe, do you think you were projecting too much, or do you think,
maybe.
I think it still comes out, but I think it is less explicit than you remember,
yeah.
but I still think it's there because I think as the movie this time, I mean, even as we were watching, there were a few times where we sort of like squeezed each other's hand, just like, oh gosh, because it was like the thought of what they were doing with the erasing.
Well, like, I love that. So I love that I love that he arrives at the decision that, like, well, I want to remember the bad stuff too, because I want to remember this person.
Right.
And it is sad that he's losing that, you know, that he's going to lose it. Yeah. So I love that quality about the movie, that it's so happy and so sad all at the same time. I think it does a much, much better job of deflating the myth of the, as Nathan Rabin would say, the manic pixie dream girl that Garden State holds up on a pedestal. I think this movie is saying, like, no, 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 that's all an image that's being put forth, and here's who this person maybe really is. I love how inventive it is with the photography and with all of the ways, you know, one of the things that's so great about Being John Malkovich, which is of course another Charlie Kaufman script, is the way that Spike Jonze takes all these fantastic concepts and then grounds them completely in the real world. So the inside of his brain just looks like a warehouse, and this building is just an office building with a middle floor, and it's all very grounded.
Oh.
And that's exactly what Michel Gondry does, I think, with Eternal Sunshine, is that all of the pretty out there stuff is very grounded in real world. So I love that about the movie. I like all the performances. I'm not positive the subplot with Kirsten Dunst is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It achieves a certain end
In
terms of what happens in the movie, but I don't know how vital it is to telling this other story.
Right.
So some of that stuff was standing out to me this time. Right. I don't think I would continue to say, like, oh, it's the best movie of the 2000s.
Right.
I don't know what would be the best movie of the 2000s. Mm-hmm. I don't have a replacement for it, but I think it's still my favorite movie that came out that year.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was really nervous before we rewatched it recently, because in my mind, it was my number one. And I mean, it's still like what it still is in theory. These are all my, you know,
all these rankings are arbitrary.
I know. You know? Right. It's just, yeah. It's kind of why I went with my 2019 list, where I had a 3-way tie for number one, because I refused to. I know it's stupid, and like people are like, oh gosh, probably rolling their eyes, but like I refused because they were those three. That was it. I could have just left the list, you know. So anyway, Eternal Sunshine, when we watched it recently, I was worried, because in my years, so I loved it so much. Obviously, it was my number one, 2004. I loved it so much, carried so much, everything you just said. But then over time, I feel like my brain played a trick on me, which was there have been these like sort of copycats or like these lesser movies that have maybe touched on similar themes. And there's been a lot of like, again, you know, quirky girl, I don't know. I thought that it maybe was going to suffer the Garden State experience in my mind. I'm like, oh no, did I love Eternal Sunshine so much, but now it's gonna just come across as sort of, I don't know, youthful and immature, and I was young and whatever. And then we rewatched, and for like a split second, I was worried about that, and then it went away, and I couldn't believe how much I still loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really felt, and again, those moments, and you know, 16 years later too, and just experiencing life, right? Like those moments when he's trying to hang on, or just when they're even showing things, it was like breaking my heart thinking about, cause I don't know, in life, and not even just romantic relationships, we could focus on that, or even other things too, friendships, whatever. Sometimes you need to let go, right? But then other times I think people are too quick to, because of like an emotional state, or like, you know, they can't deal with maybe their anger in a situation with a friend. And so it's just like, we're just going to end it. Or it's just part of their personality. They're like, I'm just going to not talk to this person anymore. You know, I have friends like this who say things like, if one person, you know, wrongs me, that's it. I'm never talking to them again. And I know that's like a really broad generalization. But like thinking of it in the context of this movie, like how sad it was, the idea that like if you lose this little bit, then you lose all of this too. And all of that makes us who we are. And all of us makes us human. And it's what life is all about. There are highs and lows and ups and downs. And now I'm getting super cheesy, but like to, I don't know, just to see it play out the way it plays out in the movie. It just, it like broke my heart and also warmed my heart at the same time. And I really liked it. So it's, holds up.
So it's my number three.
Wait, what was my book? Look at my one and two.
No, of course.
They're my honest. Old honorable
It's interesting that 2004 had both Eternal Sunshine and Before Sunset, which are like two of the best movies about relationships of the last 20 years.
Yes.
Like,
right, movies that we have talked about a lot since then, and everybody, I think,
All
right,
your old honorable mentions.
My old honorable mentions were Shaun of the Dead, Super Size Me, The Incredibles, Dawn of the Dead, Spanglish.
Dawn of the Dead does not hold up that well. I'm going to say it. We just rewatched it the other night.
Spanglish.
That's why you shouldn't rewatch some stuff.
Finding Neverland?
Now you got to go.
I know. See ya. It's been fun. Metallica is some kind of monster. We Don't Live Here Anymore.
Okay.
And Kinsey.
All right.
And
I'll allow it.
New honorable mentions. Man on Fire. Oh, did I say that was a tie for number 10? There's
list,
like there's
it?
Like some arrows.
Yeah.
Super Size Me, Born in the Brothels, Fahrenheit 9/11, Incredibles, Team America World Police I threw on there just because I haven't seen it for so long and I remember laughing so hard, but I have no idea if it would really hold up. So it was more of a note for like, hey, why don't you rewatch that?
All right.
Oh, Walking Tall. I have a memory of loving Walking Tall, but I don't think I've seen it since then. So, listeners, do you think I should rewatch Walking Tall?
It's like 80 minutes of The Rock beating people up. It's
yes,
super fun.
I think I loved it. I loved it. Honorable mention,
it's,
baby.
It's very
entertaining. That's right.
I like it a lot. My honorable mentions are The Incredibles. I left Garden State in my honorable mentions.
I did too. Mine's here. Garden State is here. And Kinsey.
Mean Creek.
Oh.
And Overnight, the documentary about the making of the Boondock Saints.
Okay, so this happens every time we record one of these, that you name a movie somewhere, and I go, I didn't know that was this year, because I loved Overnight.
I think it was this year.
I loved Overnight.
Yeah, I like Overnight a lot more than I like the Boondock Saints, which is not a movie I love.
Right, yeah, no.
You know what I do love? You. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. High five, babe.
This was fun. It's always fun. I'm scared to do our 2005 because I remember what I made my number one of 2005.
Real?
And I don't think I've rewatched it since.
I cannot wait then.
And it was risky back then.
Risky.
So I don't know what it's going to look like now. But I'm excited to revisit it.
I'm excited too. All right. Is it going to be, let's hope that nothing takes our movies away from us in the next few months. And maybe we can come back with the 2005 list a little bit more quickly.
A little sooner. Yeah. Well, we just have to start rewatching our 2005s like now.
Okay.
And then we'll get to it.
Do you want me to sing any of the songs from the Elfie soundtrack on the way out?
Oh, you were going to do the top 10 highest grossers of 2004.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And then you can sing Elfie on
top 10. So number 10. Oh, do you want to hear top 15?
Sure.
Van Helsing, 15.
God damn it.
51st
Dates.
Hey, 16 was Fahrenheit 9/11, which is great for documentary, right? But that was the whole thing with that movie. 15, Van Helsing. 14, 51st Dates. 13, Troy. 12, iRobot. 11, National Treasure. I told you we were going to have a lot of overlap.
Right.
Number 10, The Polar Express. Number 9, Shark Tale. Number 8, Meet the Fockers. Number 7, The Bourne Supremacy. Number 6, The Day After Tomorrow.
There's almost not a movie I like in this top 10.
Number 5, Harry Potter. And what was the title?
Of
The Prisoner. Yep.
Yeah.
Number 4, The Incredibles. Number 3, The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah. You know, I still have never seen that movie.
I haven't either. Did I? I don't think I did.
No, I guess you wouldn't have because we were married this year.
We were. I mean, I still saw movies like sometimes.
No, I know.
Yeah,
but
right. Yeah, no.
We would have seen it together.
Right, yeah. Number 2, Spider-Man 2. Another high five there,
I thought
baby.
That was 1.
I would have hoped, but instead it's Shrek 2.
Oh, God.
I mean, Shrek 2 sold about 10,000, 11,000 more tickets.
So things really had changed even by 2004. Like these big special effects movies were the highest grossers. Like some of those movies on that list I still have never seen. I've never seen Shark Tale. I've never seen Passion of the Christ. And then so many I just don't like. The Day After Tomorrow and
That's
Troy,
why I said when I looked at this
like,
list, there's not a lot of, you know.
Spider-Man 2 was the one that I was afraid was going to step on our lists.
That's right. Collateral was 21.
Oh, wow.
Princess Diaries 2 was 22. Oh, my gosh.
Adam Riske would be very happy about that.
Mean
I
Girls
seen
was 27.
It.
The Notebook was 31.
Okay.
The Notebook has been showing up a lot lately in my...
Dreams about Ryan Gosling.
Yes. Yes. I once had a student, without knowing anything about my obsession with Ryan Gosling, say to me, your husband looks like Ryan Gosling in The Notebook with the beard. And I was like, oh, yeah, baby, that's right. That I didn't say
completely
that
untrue.
Out loud. But
anyway, happy anniversary. I love you very much.
Thanks
for doing this.
You don't want me to sing any Elfie soundtrack songs?
Yeah, by
songs?
All means.
Are
on
you
our
sure?
way out. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Wait, hold on.
We're signing off now, so. Oh, great. You can't play it on the podcast, though, because it's copyrighted. So
oh, darn it.
Go ahead
okay.
and turn it off. But anyway, thank you guys for listening.
Enjoy your candle, babe.
Thank you. Happy anniversary.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.